Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. 10 o'clock, time for the Brown Liquor Music Hour. You know how we do it on Friday night. We get the beat cranked up a little bit. Chuckery always gets the first request. We really hadn't done any Rick James on the show that I can remember, so get it going, a little bit of Rick James on a Friday night. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Don't forget, download the Radio.com app to be sure that you can catch us on the go. If you missed any of the Jim Ross interview that we had and get a chance to catch it tonight, download the app. You can go back and listen to it, anything on the station for that matter, in the past 24 hours in real time, and then start listening back to us live. So pretty cool feature out there. It's the best way in this kind of crazy mixed-up world to keep up to date with us. Follow us on social media. Everything is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The best way to be a part of our show would be if you follow us on our personal Twitter handles. You can find me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back behind the glass in Midtown Studios, producing the show, playing the music the rest of the way. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Let's get to our NFL squib kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, well, it seems like Bruce Arians is making the rounds everywhere. He's been on Dan Patrick and was also on Tiki and Tierney, which is on the CBS Sports Network radio show. And he put to end any speculation, the idea of Antonio Brown coming back to partner up with Tom Brady. And this had been kind of hinting at before, but Arians confirmed on the show earlier today, yeah, it's not going to happen. There's no room and probably not enough money, but it's not going to happen. It's not a fit here. Now, Brandon Tierney tried to point out that there is room because the Bucs did lose Perriman in free agency to the Jets, but asking whether Arians would be willing to sign Brown at the veterans minimum just so he could play with his buddy Brady, no. When asked, it was because he didn't trust what Brown would do for the culture of the teams. Arians said, yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit for our locker room. So, you know, let's face it, the Antonio Brown good PR train needs to try to get cranked up and try to figure out, you know, where he can find a landing spot. Now, don't forget, Arians worked with him when he was in Pittsburgh, but he went on to say that I've heard so many stories. I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. He just got to make better decisions off the field. Be on time. Do some of those little things. So, listen, he may be an immense talent, but as of right now, the idea of bringing in Antonio Brown to your team, especially if you think that you're a contender, I just don't know that that's a realistic proposition for a lot of those teams. And look, Arians has a reputation of being one of the better players, coaches in the NFL, right? He's a guy that's beloved and things like that. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that that's kind of the landing spot for Tom Brady. I mean, yes, they have a lot of talent that can be a very good team. But I think at the same time, too, I think when you talk about team and roster and coach fit and all that, I think Bruce Arians is one of those guys that, you know, obviously he has a reputation of being a quarterback guru. And listen, the stories have been that, too. He has been pushing hard to sell the idea of Jameis Winston for other teams. You know, the rumor and innuendo is that the biggest champion that Jameis Winston has right now is Bruce Arians, trying to help him out and trying to help him get another job out there. So while things didn't necessarily work out for Winston, you know, in Tampa Bay, and, you know, it was a very mixed bag that happened down there, and certainly when you get a chance to have Tom Brady on your team, you jump at that just about over anybody in the league, but he's been a real champion for trying to get Jameis Winston a job in the league out there. Now, later on, appearing on the Dan Patrick Show, Bruce Arians brought up the idea of some of the throwbacks for the Buccaneers that could be coming back in 2021. And the idea is, and the rumor and innuendo is the idea that in 2021 that they are going to get rid of one of the rules that says that the league is going to be ditching the rule that limits players to only one helmet per year. It says that this would allow teams that would like to use an alternative uniform with an alternative helmet, it would allow them to do it. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy telling Pro Football Talk via email, quote, "There will be no change for the 2020 season. There are ongoing discussions for a potential change for the 2021 season, but no decisions have been made." So, for instance, what that means is if that change comes along, you know, you don't have to just kind of have the color rush type of uniform. You could have the full outfit. So what Bruce Arians was referring to is bringing back the creamsicle, right? Do you remember that, the old Buccaneer creamsicle uniforms with the creamsicle orange and all that, the orange and white and everything like that? Well, obviously part of that would be being able to have the helmet that goes along with that as well. So to me, listen, these are some of those little changes that as the NFL, and well, we just finished up the 100th anniversary, okay? So there is a lot of that nostalgia throwback when it comes to NFL uniforms and things like that. We know that the Rams are kind of changing their logo and things like that. The Falcons are going to have a different uniform scheme. In fact, I think we'll hear about that in a couple of weeks, right? I think that they are scheduled for about mid-April to unveil all of that. Well, obviously, part of that would be being able to have the throwback helmets that go along with it. So instead of the Buccaneers trying to play in a creamsicle uniform, but you have to have that pewter helmet that they have, let them play in the full regalia of the uniform, the helmet, everything, which I'm all in favor of. I mean, I like the throwback unis for some of these teams. You know, I liked it when the Rams did it, although it did look weird with their, you know, kind of goldish blue helmet, not always the old-fashioned, you know, bright blue Rams with the bright yellow and the big ram horn and all that kind of stuff on it. So I hope they allow them to do that. That would be a good thing to bring back some of that and allow them to have the full makeup in all of this. So Bill Barnwell, who we talked about some of his grades that weren't so favorable for the offseason moves that the Falcons have made. So he put out his list of his favorite kind of moves that were made in the offseason, the moves that he thought were maybe the most impactful that were made. The Ndamukong Suh move to retain him for a one-year $8 million deal. He gave that an A-. The Breshad Perriman deal for the Jets, 1 year, $6 million, gave that a B. Obviously, the Tom Brady deal, hard to argue with how popular that move was because, I mean, you change up the complete fate of your franchise where you make them a Super Bowl contender literally overnight. Let's see here. He goes through a couple of these other signings and stuff like that, if I can get it to pop up on my screen. The magic of having to do live radio and the magic of trying to do things on remote broadcasting on things like that. Tom Brady got the A grade. Drew Brees was also a move he was big in favor of. Also, too, Brian Poole going to the New York Jets, 1 year, $5 million. He says, non-tendered by the Falcons last offseason, Poole responded by turning into something truly rare by 2019 standards, a bright spot for the Jets. With Poole serving as their primary slot corner, the Jets allowed a passer rating of 87.7 to wideouts who came out of the slot or out of a tight split, according to the NFL Next Gen Stats, the third best mark in football. By comparison, they ranked 22nd in the league in passer rating on throws to receivers who were split out wide. So that's a lot of gobbledygook and things like that. But Brian Poole, you know, guy who did some good things here in Atlanta, has moved on to more success for the Jets. He liked that move. We said Ndamukong Suh. Brian Bulaga for the Chargers, offensive tackle. Eric Ebron to the Pittsburgh Steelers was a move that I really liked. Devin McCourtney with the New England Patriots. Philip Rivers to the Indianapolis Colts. So obviously part of the trend is the fact that he liked the moves that these teams made with the quarterbacks, with Rivers, with Brady's, with Breeze, some of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, either changing teams or teams being smart and deciding to bring their guy back, and Drew Brees. So hard to argue with that Tom Brady wasn't the best offseason move, right, in the NFL. I mean, I would think that there is no better move when you can bring a guy like Tom Brady into your organization, no matter how good or how bad your organization is, that instantly gives you more credibility to be one of the better teams in the NFL. And also, to the owners, next week, they will be doing a vote, and that will be in relation to the idea of this 14-team playoff. Of course, now we got some early indications in the CBA that this is something that they want to do, is expand the playoffs, add one additional wildcard team to where you would only have the top seed in each conference that would have the bye. So instead of right now the 1 and 2 seed getting that first week bye in the wildcard round, then you would have only the top seed in the conference that will have that bye. And, of course, the idea is to try to create more compelling games and things like that. I'm not for expanding the NFL playoffs. I said before, I don't think more average teams makes the playoffs better. And people are like, well, you know, look at the Giants that year that they snuck in as a wild card and all that. Okay, I get that. You get that random thing that happens out there. But by and large, average NFL teams, you know, there'll be that occasional team that makes a run, but the idea of them doing a whole lot in the playoffs, I mean, because you have the real possibility of talking about 7 and 9 teams now being realistic playoff teams. I mean, we had division winners. We've had division winners at 7 and 9 before. So imagine now you've got a wild card team that's you know, these wild card teams sitting at 7 and 9. I don't know. I don't get excited about the idea of two, you know, 6 and 9 teams on the final weekend of the year trying to fight for a playoff spot to be 7 and 9 and in the playoffs. I'm not about rewarding, you know, mediocrity. And I think one of the things that makes the NFL great is the fact that there are no style points. There's no Harris poll. There's no BCS computers. There's none of that that goes on out there. It's literally, are you a good team? Do you win football games? At the end of the season, does your W say? What does your L say? And that determines where you're at. But they will vote next week to decide, do I expect them to expand the playoffs? Sure, why not? Because everything's about money. Doesn't matter what the fans want or the fans say, whether they were for it, against it, it doesn't really matter. The idea is if they can get more TV revenue and more TV money for it, and if they can find a way to work with the players' union to get them more compensation, then everybody's going to buy into it. All right, when we get back, Kirk Herbstreit is pretty adamant about the idea that he does not expect football at either the pro or college level to come back. Does he have a point, or is he being hot takey? We'll talk about that next. Chuck Reed hanging out with you on a Friday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app. Radio 92.9 The Game. Back on the John Trucker Show here with you on a Friday night. You know it, man. Just got paid. Little Johnny Kemp to get us going here in the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Rolling right along, taking until 11 o'clock. Don't forget the radio.com app to catch us on the go. If you did miss anything on the show or anything in the past 24 hours, you can go back and listen to it live on that. In these crazy times, you need that radio.com app. Please download it and catch us on the go there. 404-741-0929, that's the phone line, that's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Give me a follow on Twitter, it's at JMCH316, at JMCH316, he's at JarvisD90. Well, as we try to figure out the sports landscape and what is going to be happening here as we move through the summer into fall, we know that the NFL has voted unanimously to keep the NFL draft going and keep it in place for its originally scheduled date of April 23rd through April 25th. College football analyst, college game day host, Kirk Herbstreit, doesn't think, though, that there's a lot of hope for football coming up in this fall. Talking on ESPN radio on Thursday, he said that, quote, I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this far. Fall, I should say, if we have college football, I'll be so surprised if that happens. Just because, from what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a coronavirus vaccine. I don't know how you let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it. He says if he were the NFL commissioner or in charge of the NCAA, he would shut it down ASAP. Quote, next thing you know, you got a locker room full of guys that are sick, and that's on your watch. I wouldn't want to have that. As much as I hate to say it, I think we're scratching the surface of where this thing's going to go. He also says he doesn't think that people understand how much time and prep work is needed for NFL and college coaches to get ready for a long season. Quote, you don't all of a sudden come up with something in July or August and say, okay, we're good to go and turn them loose out there. Now, here's what I'll say about all of this. I think it's very unlikely that the NFL and college football shuts down. The idea of college athletic departments operating with no operating capital from the NCAA basketball tournament and collegiate football, I just don't see how programs could really survive without that. I mean, reality is that that's the two money-making revenue streams for collegiate athletics. And, you know, you've got that because of TV contracts and things like that. Taking away any of that money from athletic programs, while a school like Georgia or Florida isn't really hurt by losing out on the basketball money, they can go through and survive all that. You know, the money that gets generated through football, and I'm not even talking about just on-campus ticket sales, alcohol sales, or things like that. Yes, that's all good revenue that gets added in. But when you talk about the TV deals and the TV contract money, the CBS 330 and all that kind of stuff, and the SEC network and all that, you know, that's such a big chunk of money that I think you're going to have a hard time convincing ADs of the Power Five conferences to say, okay, or not ADs, I should say, but commissioners of the Power Five conferences to say, okay, let's shut down football. And I think, truthfully, they would much more play in front of empty stadiums before they would shut the sport down. And they would come up with a way to figure out how to get it done. But I think that they would play football without fans before they would shut down the sport. Now, let's go over to the NFL side, okay? When you're talking about the level of money, you know, don't think it's coincidence the fact that the committee that voted on keeping the NFL draft unanimously said to keep it as is, even though there was a lot of supposed like internal backlash from the standpoint of coaches, player personnel guys, GMs and things like that were saying, hey, we don't know if we have enough information. We're not getting a chance to interview guys. We're not maybe having all the information that we normally would have. It's making it harder to make decisions for us. Well, guess what? Even with all of that, the people that voted on it said, you know what? We're keeping the draft guns blazing, gung-ho. It's going to stay where it is. Why? Because they know the importance of it. They know the importance of it in the sports American landscape world. And I don't believe that the NFL is going to look and say, you know what, we're going to shut things down. Now, listen, things can change. If there is a massive uptick in deaths or cases or, you know, sickness or whatever, yeah, I understand things can change. But we've got a ways to go, okay, despite what Kirk thinks, we've got a ways to go before some of those decisions really have to be made. You know, you could find a way to push football back even a few weeks. Even if that meant you try to condense some of the bowl game schedule and maybe you reorganize some of these bowl games. Because, frankly, some of these bowl games are played at, you know, collegiate-only stadiums. It's not like there's a whole lot of things that go on at some of these stadiums once you get past football season. Now, there are ways that you could do this thing and still give guys time to get ready. Now, yeah, you don't have spring football. Maybe you don't have some late summer things, you know, but you could still have training camps and things like that. And once we get back to a point where guys can at least do some working out, I mean, I'm not so much worried, like I said, about some of these NFL guys by and large. Yeah, there's probably some guys that you worry about, offensive or defensive linemen, that maybe don't always stay in the best shape that you've got to worry about. But by and large, guys are going to find ways to keep themselves in shape. And, yeah, I understand football shape, but take Julio Jones, for instance. he doesn't absorb one single hit through the entire preseason. And miss me with the idea of camp, because, hell, that's all that these guys negotiate nowadays is how many less practices can we have? How many less two-a-days can we have? How many less padded practices that we can have? Hell, they already cut back all the practices and pads and two-a-days to where you're not doing that stuff anyway. So other than running drills and some things like that and evaluating, you know, your roster, I mean, does Matt Ryan have to have preseason? Would you like him to have some? Yeah, sure, probably. But does he have to have preseason? No. Julio doesn't have it. Devontae Freeman hasn't had it before. So it's not like you can't still have some preseason and some practices. And you could probably negotiate a deal where you still get practices through some of those preseasons where that maybe you break camp a little bit later instead of before some of your preseason schedule. There are ways to do it. I just don't see the NFL saying, you know what, we're going to give up all that revenue. And take the TV networks. Think about how much football programming happens even on the big networks during the week. You know, Thursday night football on CBS or Sunday night football on NBC. And obviously the weekend programming. And then as you get toward the end of the year, you get Saturday NFL when the regular season of college football ends. So many days that get influenced by football in the NFL. You know, Fox puts on Pac-12 games on Friday night. So you get football during the week on networks. I just don't see how the networks want to give up all of that programming that it provides. And, yeah, I understand baseball and things like that. You know, right now ESPN is fighting not having as much baseball. But I don't even know that ESPN does 7 nights a week of baseball on their broadcast. And the networks only do some weekend stuff, right? I just don't think that it's – let me put it this way. I think it's too early to go in with the idea that you're not going to have NFL or college football yet. And I'm not saying Kurt Herbstreit isn't completely wrong or it can't happen. It's not an impossibility. Anything is possible in today's world. But I think there's a little bit of hot takiness in it. And I'm telling you, had Rudy Gobert not have tested positive, sports would be going on. Maybe by now some things would have been canceled, but things would not have been canceled when they were. And we probably would have had March Madness. And we probably would have had the rest of the NBA season or NHL season. But literally the Rudy Gobert testing, you know, of being positive for COVID-19, that changed the entire sports landscape in America. That patient zero, if you will, within American sports changed everything. Had we not have gotten a test from Rudy Gobert positive about it, you'd have had sports. Maybe there'd have been, you know, empty arenas, because the NBA was already to play in empty arenas. They were going to play games, and they were going to play in empty arenas. The Golden State Warriors were going to play in empty arenas on that Thursday. Would that have been the 13th of March, I think it was. They were going to play in empty arenas. When the governor enacted you can't have more than 250 people together, they were going to play in empty arenas. So I think it's a little bit too early to try to be looking at NFL and college football as not being around. And who knows, maybe Kirk Herbstreit will be the smartest guy in the room was all said and done. If that's true, that will be the first time that happened. Oh, I'm sorry, was that a shot at him? All right, when we get back, we will talk about the proposal that the Players Union for Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball itself has supposedly come to an agreement on some key bullet points about when their season is going to start back up. We'll talk about that next. John Chuckery hanging out with you here on a Friday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app.
Tell me, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get out? What you gonna do?